B-Pod Studios.
Jay, it's a Friday, so today's
I'm pumped up, it's Friday.
I know. You know what's terrible is when you have a pang of like, you know, I feel like throwing a couple back now.
And early.
It's not good.
Are you and the bro at the pub with Bobby?
Yeah.
You know tossing what? Back. Hey, we'll do a noon shot.
You know what it is, too? I still have that morning thing in me.
Mm-hmm.
So, bro and Bob and I would go to the bar at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it felt normal to have a pint.
Well, you ended your work day.
At 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that was happy hour.
Yeah.
When you run that schedule, it's happy hour.
Which is not good. So, I got to get to this. I'm really curious in your opinion here. And we're gonna be bopping around with all the teams today.
Yep.
With, like, kind of deeper questions. Kind of diving deep with each of these teams. And great get, because you got Carter Hart with us today.
1:30,
at 1:30. So, I'm really looking forward to talking to the kid. So, I'm really curious. When I last night I had on a buddy of mine from Sports Illustrated. He's actually like my mentor. His name's Gary Smith. He's one of the renowned American sports writers. He's an amazing
smart man.
Yeah, I mean, he's an amazing guy. Like he dives into, it's not sports, it's more what's around them, the story around them. And he dives deeply into psychological things.
Yeah, psychological warfare.
And he always makes me think. Like, what I love about him is that, you know, he's one of these people that, you know, when he says something, he gives you the other side and he makes you think.
He's a cerebral guy that forces you to look at things through a different lens.
Yes, exactly.
Yep, which
exactly.
is awesome. I love that stuff.
So, he and I were talking about Brett Brown earlier this week. And so I had him on the show last night to talk about it so the people could hear it. And so we started getting into it. And his whole point, now, see what you think of his point. His whole point is, forget about X and O. He might be deficient in that realm. But the job at hand is to get this group of talented players to all buy in, all sacrifice, and all play together. And want to play.
Come together with the same goal.
Like, you've seen it blow up all over the NBA. No, there are no bigger divas than in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA's got power.
And it's a big stats-driven.
Sure it is.
Oh, I went for 48 last night.
Man,
that's huge.
You know, it's pride.
Yep.
It's such an interesting league because there's so few players. There are so few great players. The great players have all the sway. And just the game itself. Like, you know, one of the things I love about the game of basketball, the game, is that it can be ego and it can be team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like baseball's all individual, right?
It's one-on-one, man.
Football's all team. I don't care, quarterback or not. So the difference between, and hockey's all team.
Yep.
Right? So basketball's the only sport that I think truly melds individual and team together.
I absolutely agree. And then you couple the fact that the marketing of the league is so star-driven.
Yes.
And it's what you do on the floor and how you end up on SportsCenter. And, you know, 550-plus games in a row for James Harden or the last 12 games of Paul George. You look at those things, and that's how the game, that's what drives the game. But it's interesting, too, because like you said, it can be a team sport like Golden State, who moves the ball incredibly well. And that's, you know, they figure the more I move it, eventually there comes the mistake on the defensive end. There we get our opportunity with this. And then also, but you can have the one-on-one matchup. Like everybody, hey, like move out of the way when Iverson and Jordan lined up against each other and Iverson crossed them over.
Yes.
You know, that,
yes.
The one-on-one battles like down low with between Embiid and whoever, you know, some guy he's talking smack with. Or the storylines of Embiid and Westbrook.
Yes. Yes.
It has everything.
Yes.
It's theater.
It is. And because of that, it's funny, I heard recently there was a story, Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr says, you guys have no idea the amount of brush fires I got to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
No, just look at the Draymond and KD thing.
Like, the thing could just erupt, could blow up, and it's a powder keg.
Oh, it's volatile.
At any time,
yep.
Right?
With all those egos?
Yeah. And that's the Warriors who just win championships, right?
And they present themselves on the floor as very selfless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but that's the role of a great, of a coach.
Well, look at Belichick.
It's not, it's, well, but he's different because he's got swag.
Yeah.
He's got swag. Like, Pop's got swag.
Certain guys have, yeah, they have so much cachet.
Yeah.
That no matter what they say, people go, you're right.
But Steve Kerr doesn't have that.
No.
Like, you know, he's got it. Right. He's got to earn that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing with this group, and it's what, it's Gary's point, that you look at the four. Forget about JJ because he's a team guy. You don't have to really worry about him.
Yeah.
He's not a star. He's a good player.
Very good.
The other guys are stars, right? You got the young superstar in the making in Ben, who controls the...
It's like casting a movie.
Right. Like, exactly. Who is in control of the ball.
Yeah.
You got the now generational big man who's got... You know, who could be one of the all-time big men of the game.
And the personality meets, equals his size.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Joel Embiid could be Wilt, Russell, Jabbar, Shaq. I mean, there's no, he could be all that wrapped up into one.
Yeah, he could go end up as a legend, which is hard to do.
And he's from another country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's incredibly intelligent. All right?
That's one thing I think that gets lost about him.
He's
as savvy as they come.
Yeah, he's
intelligent.
Really smart.
Yep.
And he's got, like, you know, he could be a pain in the ass, too. He's got that thing. He could be a pain in the ass.
We've seen it.
Then you got Jimmy. All right? So Jimmy's on a whole other realm because he's self-made, because of the way he grew up. I mean, he was homeless.
He's Richie Aprile.
Yes.
He comes in as this heel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? That's a great analogy.
He comes in and upsets the apple cart.
He's the jacket, man. Yeah. He's the jacket.
I'm earning with two hands here.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Great, great point. He's got, like, you know, he doesn't know. He's very frugal with his money. He's a self-made man.
Yeah.
He said, well, I don't need, I'm done. I can retire right now. I got all the money in the world that'll last me.
More than you ever dreamed of.
Right. And the guy was living on the street.
Yeah.
Guy was homeless.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. And when you have that perspective, money means more.
Right. You know? And he's a killer. Right. He's got
Stone.
He's got a killer in him. And you got Tobias Harris. And Tobias Harris is a guy that has immense ability. And it's just waiting to flare. He's about to blossom.
Yeah.
He's been with
five teams.
Yeah. Well, that's
five
the
and
fifth.
Eight years. Yeah.
Four stops before that. He's another late bloomer like Butler.
Yeah.
And now he feels like it's his time.
Time to capitalize.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the four roles. If we're casting a movie, these are the four main roles.
All different dynamic.
And they all got to mesh and buy in and sacrifice a piece of their game.
To achieve the ultimate, which is an NBA title. And that is Brett's biggest job.
All right,
it is not substitutions.
No.
It's to get these guys on the same page like Charlie did with that team in that clubhouse and kept it competitive and loose and together.
Yeah, except, you know what's funny? Because I think Charlie gets a bad rep. Charlie was a great... He was a great baseball manager.
Yeah, he knew everything.
He knew the game. He was a strategist. Yeah, he understood. He was a smart dude.
People took the way he talked
exactly
as being the way he thought, which was unfortunate.
But the parallel, I think, is Doug.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Because there's some. I mean, come on. There's some play calls. You go, what in the world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why would you
situations?
Why would you run Carson on a play like that? Like, you know. You're going to run him on a read option? Like, that's ridiculous. Why are you doing this? And, you know, and then he's also open to when Nick Foles goes, hey, I want to run a sprint out and we're going to have
Golden Tate hasn't done anything yet.
Beat his man.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the gift. The great gift that we talked about all the time with Doug is that he's a great coach because he's a leader. He's a great leader. So now goes back to Brett. And Brett's, obviously, there's holes. We all see them.
Yep.
But are they talented enough that if they play together and there's a coach that makes them buy in, that they overcome whatever strategic deficiencies he's got?
Boy, that is a very, very difficult question to answer. I got to think about it. I don't know. We want everybody to weigh in on that because you're right. We know what the deficiency in strategy is. We know what the deficiencies are in substitution sometimes and who to get the ball. Like the Boston game's a case study because you knew that Brad Stevens was going to shut down Embiid and Simmons. So you called it plan B, plan Butler. That should have been the strategy, but it wasn't. But if he can get all of those guys together, can he overcome those deficiencies?
That's right.
Or do you have to have all of those guys together and not have those deficiencies to have ultimate success, both this year and beyond? Interesting question. All right, 610-632-0975.
Later on, I have a Carson question that's going to rock your soul. Rock you to your soul.
You're going to make me uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay. And also today, by the way.
Because I'm uncomfortable thinking about it.
I'm going to throw to callers today. Fact or Fiction Friday. I wrote about 40, 50.
Love them.
Fact or Fictions, everything from the world of sports and food and music and everything else in between. So we'll throw them to callers. We'll debate them and we'll have a fun show here today on a Friday afternoon. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. That's Anthony Gargano. I'm Jason Martinez. And we are exclusively right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's time now for the Bring the Heat line.
Hot, damn,
I don't want a hot take.
I'll argue with you all day long.
Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Stay warm this winter and visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Oh, Daddy.
To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Now, Bring the Heat.
Let's go.
Yeah, it is time for Bring the Heat. The number 610-771-9751. Leave your messages there. By the way, Carter Hart will join us at 1:30. We'll talk to the Flyers netminder, but let's get to the Bring the Heat calls that came in last night. What do we got, Pat?
Yeah, this is Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And my comment to that gentleman who called earlier about high school guys just going to the AAF so they can get paid. All I got to say is there ain't no Clemson co-eds hanging out at the AAF.
Big man
I got
on
news for you, brother. You're so right, Trevor. So right. And we should all be so lucky to come back in another lifetime as Trevor Lawrence.
And be an elite athlete, the big man on campus. It was your point about the one and dones. Like, be the king of the campus.
It's an experience that everyone, every elite athlete should enjoy it. Like, you're walking around. And I'm not saying you're going to have any problems getting, you know, hooking up with girls, but you're walking around campus, the man.
Yeah.
You're the man. I don't care how many times, like, unless you're LeBron, you know, you got a chance to be the man. Why would you want to be the man?
Yeah, you walk into a class that's got, like, you know, like 25 people in it. You're in your psychology class, and you walk in.
Look at that.
Yeah, Zion. Like, he's a mythical figure down there now.
I mean, geez, even if you don't want to do the work, you have a line of people that'll do the work for you.
Not saying that happens, but it does.
Well, you know, you get my point. My point is that, man, I don't know. If I was that age, and I, you know, again, you have insurance policy, so... You know,
you're protected.
You're not. It's not like years ago, he blew out his knee and he wasn't able to go play pro. And he lost out millions.
He's nowadays, penniless.
Right. That doesn't happen nowadays.
Yeah, that's a good point. What's next?
Anthony, if Brett Brown flamed out UNJ, right? Absolutely not. You go to Jimmy Butler and you go to Tobias Harris and say, if you re-sign here, you two get to pick the coach. What coach do you want? The players run the NBA. Okay.
No. You're a fool.
The players don't run the NBA. The good coaches don't let the inmates run the asylum.
I mean, you're a fool if you don't want Jay Wright. And by the way, look, you've already saw how it worked out with Jimmy. Tobias Harris is going to resign with you. He doesn't want to go around the he's not. Jimmy's
What's
your
only, roots of the ground.
Jimmy's your only issue that you're worried about. And by the way, I worry about Joe and Ben more than I worry about Jimmy.
Well, that's the thing, too.
So that, the okay man, I disagree with you on multiple levels.
Well, the other thing, too, is while it's a Brett Brown referendum, it's also a Jimmy Butler referendum for the final 25 in playoffs.
That's right.
So you can make that decision after you get all this intel. You got time for intel.
And by the way, I'm looking for competency. Jimmy Butler goes, you know, I want my stylist to be the coach.
The hair cutter?
You know, Bob Costas is like a media giant and a cultural institution. And, you know, by all accounts, a very good man. But off.
Well, yeah, see, a lot of people get
it's
uncomfortable.
Baseball season, boys.
Well, when he said the two things that he said in the clip that we played the other day was, I like football despite its violence, not because of it. And that it is, what was the term he used?
It was inexcusably...
Unacceptably violent.
Brutal.
Brutal, yeah. Which
unacceptably
means savagely violent.
Brutal.
Yeah.
But he's right. He's a media giant, and I respect him, but I love the bleep off. Because you know what? He had me feeling guilty all day yesterday. Bob Costas and Tyrone, the two guys I love, make me feel guilty about football.
Well, I shot...
Sorry, I love football. I apologize, Tyrone.
I shot Bob a text this morning to see if he'd like to come on. And he replied and just said, that this time I'm on the West Coast. He just woke up when he texted me. He said, I'm not doing any interviews at all for a while, even one. It seems if I do one, it brings more requests for others. Thanks for understanding and thanks for the invitation, BC.
It's a great response from BC.
He's great. He always responds.
No, he's a gentleman. Now, yep. He's an ultimate gentleman, as is Tyrone.
But
two fine gentlemen.
But they both.
Whom I care about. Well, I care about Tyrone more, but, you know, still, that's making me feel guilty over my love of football.
Hey, Martel. It's nice to have a coach that pushes you and doesn't just tell you what you want to hear. But then why was your ass smiling every time the camera picked you up on the bench? You seem pretty happy, you punk.
Yeah, he seemed to be enjoying himself not doing anything and getting paid as a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
That was a fugazi thing to say.
It was completely, it was terrible. It was awful. It was the ramblings of an immature ingrate is what it was.
Yeah.
By the way, just from the what the OK said about me, about Jay Wright, I don't know. I don't know if he'd ever leave Villanova. All right? I don't know that. I don't. There's probably a great chance he would never leave Villanova. But if I'm in search of a coach, he's my first call. All right?
And you're doing what it takes.
That guy is my first call, and I would make him the ultimate Godfather offer.
All these people saying, the Knicks game didn't matter. The only games that matter are against Boston, Toronto, and what? Like, shut up. Like, do you not realize playoff seeding matters? We're going to win these games. We're going to get up to the second seed and have home court pretty much throughout until we play Toronto in the Eastern Conference Championship. These games do matter.
Absolutely. Well, they matter in this. Yeah, you need to get, you want to get the home court advantage, because we've talked about it, Ant, about how important that is. Because you look at these top teams in the East,
yeah,
and the home court advantage, yes, that they possess, like Milwaukee, boom, 23-5.
Now, the only thing I think what he was hearing about the Knicks game not mattering was it's a foregone conclusion they're going to beat the Knicks.
Yeah, they just had too much talent.
The Knicks are tanking.
Yeah, and they're going to overwhelm them. Now, the Sixers, 23-7 on the home court. They have, there's a couple teams with better home court records. That's Toronto, 24-5, Milwaukee, 23-5, Indiana, 22-8. They're going to be a non-factor. 23-8 is Boston as well. So all these teams, I mean, the home court means something. And in a seven-game series, it might take that extra game at home and that home court advantage to propel you to the next round.
Yeah. That's right.
Man, oh, man. Pat Egan, would you cheer up, dude? Every time you fill in Granger, you sound like you are absolutely friggin' miserable. Cheer up, dude.
It's
not that bad.
Well, he is absolutely. I mean, I'm a happy guy. I don't.
Wow.
There's very
Who
little.
Who is that, man?
There's very little that makes Pat happy.
Apparently, he's just not a fan of mine. I don't get it.
No, I don't think he's not a fan. I just think he wants you to be more vivacious.
Let's go, team, huh?
Well,
what a great call.
Pat's also in the throes of having a very young baby, a couple months old. So the sleep is not a plentiful in the Egan residence right now.
You know, it's been rough.
You remember what it's like with an 8-week-old aunt?
I'm happy, though. I'm a happy guy. I like a lot of stuff.
No, nah, I mean, you got to embrace your idiosyncrasies.
Do you have a chair?
Yeah. Yeah, she got mad at me because I put a 55 TV in the baby's room.
55-inch?
Yeah, and I said the baby needed it. I think he does because he's got to watch sports with me.
Right.
Because, and there's nothing wrong with these people, but, like, I worry about him being, like, the art kid who doesn't like sports. And I worry about that.
Yeah, I feel you, brother. Is there anything better, though, on a serious note, than when you're sitting in that chair and you got the still ice to keep all the hospital blankets?
Yeah, the blankets and
you know those hospital blankets?
Yeah.
They're the greatest, right? Yeah. And then the baby's right there on your chest sleeping.
And you're palming the butt to hold him up?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, you look down, you're like, how did I create this thing?
And like, you just hear the in and out, the breathing, the baby's breathing, the breath. Because their breath is like, it's the amazing thing about babies is that there's nothing foul about them.
Well, I disagree with that.
because even the poop is
not
real.
He literally avoided his entire diaper completely the other day. And I thought, this is what I dreamed of.
But when you're a parent, a different thing kicks in. You have a problem. Listen, you don't.
You don't. You're right.
It becomes foul when they're like three.
Yeah, when they get solids in them.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, like that's when it's foul.
When they're taking a deuce.
When they're 8 months old, there's nothing foul about anything.
Yeah.
No, he's, yeah,
their
he's
breath,
cool.
Their breath is
baby's
like.
Breath, yeah.
There's nothing better.
Yeah.
Their hair, they smell, just, their skin's so soft.
He's bad at conversation.
Baby powder smell.
Yes.
Yeah. There's something very comforting.
You know, just their breathing, sleeping on you is the best.
Yeah, you're a baby's man.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I had my
baby whisper.
Man.
Yeah. And take it and fall asleep.
They love daddy. They were so, you know, like I'm some bear. And they would just, you know.
Climb on you and fall asleep.
Yeah. Oh, hey, if you want
the heat of the body.
If you want a 2-month-old, like, hit me up.
Yeah, Pat.
I wish my kids were back to babies.
I don't. I'm not punching that clock back to zero. I don't want to change. Next diaper I change is my own. All right? That's the deal.
I gotta be honest. I wish they were like. Listen, you know, it's fun now that they're people.
Yeah.
Well, but I did like the baby stage. I would go back there.
Mm. No thanks. I value sleep. Carter, I understand you got some Valentines from Mary Seahouse Elementary School out in my neck of the woods in Westchester.
A second grade classroom sent me a bunch of Valentines for Valentine's Day. I mean, I didn't have a Valentine this year, so it was nice that. Someone sent me a bunch of cards, and it was really cool for them to do that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, man. That's cool, brother. Hey, by the way, you won't have Valentine's lists for long. You'll have plenty in the future.
A long line.
Hey, brother, let me ask you a question. All right. Before you came on, I was reading the list of disappointing goalies in this franchise. You know all about it. You're a smart guy. I heard you talk about it. Going up against the past, how do you handle that? Knowing that everybody looks at you going 79, he's the man, he's got to be the savior.
Honestly, you hear all about that the past couple of years. I've been hearing about it since I got drafted.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the past, and you can control that. And you don't want to live in the past and dwell on the past. You just want to live in the moment right now. You don't want to get too much into the future, but you just gotta try and stay grounded and stay in the present moment and worry about what you're doing on a daily basis.
Carter Hart joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Carter, you start the year with the Phantoms in the AHL. You didn't have the best camp. You had a lot of things going on, living on your own for the first time. When did you know that your game was coming together and that the call-up was imminent and that you could succeed at the NHL level like you have?
I think when I started the pro lifestyle, just figuring out, living on a lifestyle standpoint, away from the rink, and then settling into things with a new group of guys there, and then the game speed obviously is different from junior hockey, but I started feeling really good after about a month and a half in, and then I got the call up, so that was kind of a whirlwind situation there when I got called up, and it was a lot of emotions going on, and it was really special for me, and then I got the chance to play in my first game and have my family come out, and it was awesome.
That's all. That is cool. Are you settled in Jake's house? You all settled in?
I am, yeah. I got settled in. I got settled in yesterday, so I got a mattress and moved in there last night. And then today I just got to go get some toiletries and some food, and then I'm good.
Oh, that's all.
What'd you buy with your first NHL paycheck? A mattress!
Some deodorant!
What did I buy?
Well, you bought a mattress, man.
I bought a mattress, yeah.
Carter...
Were you in the... in the basement? Or are you in the in a side room? How big's your room?
The in goalie suite.
So it's his old apartment. So I have the whole place, and it's massive.
Oh, I know that place. God, that's a great spot.
The old city there.
Yeah, you're in town,
yeah,
man.
The old city.
Oh, it's dude, unreal, man. That's the best. That's where you need to be. It's a great apartment. That's where you a young guy needs to be.
Yeah. Well, you're not old enough to get in the bar yet.
I know, but he needs to be in town.
Oh, yeah.
Carter, when you look at this...
Yeah, it's an awesome spot.
Yeah, I actually lived right near there for a long period of time. I had a blast. Carter, when you look at the situation you guys are in right now, your play has really kind of predicated this team getting back into playoff contention, if you will. First of all, do you look at the scoreboard? And, you know, is it something that, you know, your group really feels confident right now that you can see this all the way through to getting into the postseason?
Yeah, I think we can. And I think we have the right mindset in our locker room. I think right now we just have to worry about one game at a time and not get ahead of ourselves here. But we're not too worried about other teams and what they're doing. We just got to worry about what we're doing and everything that's going on inside our locker room. And right now, everyone's feeling confident and the vibes in here are really good and really positive. And it's been a lot of fun to be a part of. And we want to keep things rolling and keep things going. And I know everybody believes in each other in this locker room, and it's awesome to be a part of.
What do you think of the town? I mean, you know, having grown up in Western Canada, and now you're here, and this is a big hockey town. It loves the Flyers and the city itself. What do you think of it?
I love Philly. It's awesome. The fans are passionate. They really care about us, and they want to see us win and succeed. And I think that's what more could you ask for as a player, to play in a market that loves their team and it's a sports city. They have all four major sports. They all care about all their sports, and it's just a really cool city, and I love playing here.
You know what? Just so you know, Carter, we're talking to Carter Hart, number 79, baby. You can own 79, that number. I love it. But you really need, when you deal with these fans, just know one thing. They truly, truly care. And if you understand that, it'll never bother you. Whatever happens, happens. But they really care. Like, they love the team. And I just wanted you to know that, buddy.
Yeah, I can definitely tell that. I mean, I think they just want to see us succeed. And, I mean, there hasn't been a Stanley Cup here since in the 70s. So I think they want to see us succeed and they want to see us win. And as players, that's what more could you ask for? We're fans that are passionate and care about their team.
Carter, when you make the jump from junior with Everett, where you had so much success, and then into the AHL, it took you a little time to get your feet under you, but now you're having this really big success at the NHL level with the rookie of the month, and also you're a top three star in the NHL for a week. Your numbers are outstanding with a 924 save percentage, and if you played more games, you'd be in the top five in the league. Your record's great. When you look at it, why have you been able to succeed going to the next level like you have? Because conventional wisdom says that 20-year-old goalies don't really do that.
Honestly, I'm just having fun. As soon as I came up here, the boys have been really good at welcoming me into this group. And we have a really tight group. And it's a lot of fun to be a part of and come to the rink every day and practice and just have fun with the boys. And it's a lot of fun. And that's probably the biggest thing for me is, when I'm at the rink, I'm here focusing on everything I'm doing and what I need to do to get better or whatever I'm doing. But when I'm away from the rink, then it's also time to kind of maybe step away and connect with family and friends. And I think it's important to have that balance in a long season. And we're playing almost every second there, so I think it's important to have that balance and just have fun with it, man.
What was your welcome to the NHL moment? Where you go, okay, they couldn't do that in junior. They couldn't do that in the AHL. You know, a guy that's just got a bomb for a shot, or a guy able to, you know, get one by you in a situation where you thought there's no way he's going to score on me here. Who was it? What was that moment for you? Do you recall it?
I mean, in my first game, I think that Larkin in the slot was probably the kind of the first thing that I kind of popped up for me, just to have a guy like that. He's an elite shooter in the league. But I think actually a couple weeks ago we were playing Boston.
Chara.
And just kind of, yeah, Chara had a, so they won the faceoff back, and Chara had time to step into a slap shot. He stepped into it, skated into it, and ripped the clapper, and it went off my blocker, and I could feel it in my hand, and it, like, on my blocker side, and it hurt. Like, it was the hardest shot I'd probably take.
Yeah, it's 105 miles an hour.
That's
pure hell.
He shot one at, like, 109 a couple years ago, didn't he?
Oh, damn, yeah.
Yeah, that thing's heavy, too.
Yeah.
Carr, do me a favor. Tell the people this story. It's such a beautiful story, and I love it, of Connor, the autistic boy that had your jersey on, and he was wearing 79, and that's why, that's the root of this thing. In case people haven't heard the story, it's the essence of sports.
Yeah, I think for when I came to Everett, when I was 16, Connor and his buddy Kevin, they're two youngest fans probably, and two of our biggest fans. They were always there at the end of the tunnel waiting for us to get us fifth taps and waiting for us to come out and cheer us on. And I don't think they missed many home games at all. And I know they tried to follow us wherever we went. And when I first came back to Everett after my first camp here in Philly when I was 18, I saw Connor screaming and he was yelling my name and trying to show me his Flyers jersey that they just got in Heart 79 on the back, which was the number I was given for development camp here. And so I saw that and I was like, maybe I'm just going to stick with 79 because, I mean, I don't want his parents to go out and buy another jersey if I change numbers. And I mean, just for Connor to be the first guy wearing a Flyers jersey with my name on the back, I thought that was pretty special and pretty cool. So I just kind of wanted to.
What a way to honor him.
Pay tribute to that.
Yeah.
Dude, God bless you, man.
That's great.
That's the attitude. Athletes need to adopt that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Like that little boy, you imagine what he feels. That's what sports is so meant to be. And so I love the story, man. I had to make you repeat it.
Well, Carter, I got a tweet here from Molly. She says, if you're looking for a Valentine, she'll volunteer for next year and beyond. All right? Carter, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Good luck this weekend. Back-to-back with Detroit. And we'll be watching, man. Everybody's rooting for you. And really impressed with what you've done so far. Thanks for doing this today.
Thank you,